To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a winding wooden pathway through a field of green comes to us from yours truly as I captured the scene back on May 28th of 2019. It is somewhere in upstate New York, but you have to forgive me for not remembering where. I work all over the Capital District and frequented many a park and hiking trail in Columbia County as well in the last several years, so I don't recall where this is, but it was and is cool. Also, that year, 2019, was probably one of the most tumultuous years of my life because I was in the limbo of the time between filing for divorce and waiting for the lawyers to do their jobs, something they didn't decide to do until the judge threatened us with trial. So you will have to forgive me if I don't remember where this pathway is. But boy, can I rejoice over the fact that even in the most tumultuous times in my life, I still took some time to enjoy my life by getting away from it all with a simple walk through the beauty of God's creation. Well, it's Monday, and it is officially the first day of spring. And I don't care what the weather is like outside, let me encourage you with the fact that spring has sprung, and eventually the evidence of the season will be seen, and all our doubts about whether or not spring would ever get here will fade away. It may not feel like spring, but our feelings don't always tell us the truth. Likewise, there will undoubtedly be times in our walk of faith where we will have to stand on the truth of what God's Word says rather than how we feel. Once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are new creations, and we are given everything we need for life and godliness. But we still have all our pre-Christ memories and habits with us, and it may take a little time to see the evidence of our new spiritual life manifesting in our daily lives. Add to this the fact that the spiritual forces of darkness are angry that they've lost you to the kingdom of God and will do anything to kill, steal, and destroy us in the joy of our salvation. And it's no wonder why we may struggle to fully accept that it is finished, that we are forgiven, adopted children of God who have power over sin and death. But the truth is the truth. And the sooner we accept it, the sooner we will start to display the evidence of our new life in Christ. You may not feel holy, but you are holy. You may not seem brand new, but you are. You may not feel free, but God has set you free. So believe it, receive it, and live it. One way we can live this thing called the Christian faith is by doing the spiritual practices that will both grow our capacity to live a life of faith, and that will simultaneously be evidence of our changed lives. Prayer, Bible study, simply believing we are new, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, singing to the Lord, and showing God's love to others through kindness and good works are all ways that we can show the world and ourselves that we are indeed Christians and have been forever changed by the new life God has poured into us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So let's take one more step into our new lives in Christ by walking into the 23rd day of Lent. They do skip Sundays, in case you were wondering. By continuing our current series and the 23rd day of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As a reminder, as we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent and to draw closer to God in anticipation of the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, we will not only see the days and seasons change, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up to get this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. And so, without further ado, we enter into day 23, where Bonhoeffer writes, "There is probably no Christian to whom God has not given the uplifting and blissful experience of genuine Christian community at least once in her or his life. But in the world, such experiences remain nothing but a gracious extra beyond the daily bread of Christian community life. We have no claim to such experiences, and we do not live with other Christians for the sake of gaining such experiences. It is not the experience of Christian community, but firm and certain faith within Christian community that holds us together. We hold fast in faith to God's greatest gift, that God has acted for us all and wants to act for us all. This makes us joyful and happy, but it also makes us ready to forget all such experiences if at times God does not grant them. We are bound together by faith, not by experience. End quote. And today's biblical wisdom that they pair with that is from 1 Peter 3:8 and 9, and it says, "Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing." Amen. A spirit of unity. And we'll move along to the questions to ponder. And the first question is, why is the uplifting and blissful experience of genuine Christian community somewhat rare? It is rare because biblical Christianity is so rare today, and because the world, the flesh, and the devil do everything to pull us away from experiencing it. Although we are Christians, we are still imperfect people who have to work and find our way in the world to provide for ourselves and our families and to endure the various trials that come from walking through life in a world broken by sin. We can be distracted. We can be offended. And our neighbors can be those things too. So when we have an uplifting and blissful experience of genuine Christian community, we should rejoice, because we can truly know that God is with us and has guided us all to be together in harmonious communion that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. The next question is, what is the firm and certain faith that holds Christians together even when there is conflict and tension between them? The firm and certain faith that holds Christians together even when there is conflict and tension between them is our common faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the belief that God is still in charge and is moving all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. The reason we have a firm and certain faith is because God doesn't change, and His word will endure forever. Regardless of our feelings or our current circumstances, we can stand firm and certain with the Lord. The next question is, what does it mean to say we are bound together by faith, not by experience? The statement, we are bound together by faith and not by experience, points to the fact that God's immutability. He doesn't change. The work of Christ has been performed. It is finished. And when we put our faith in Him as Lord and Savior, we stand firm and certain on what has already been done for us. We are bound together by our relationship to God through Jesus, not on our experiences of harmony here on earth, which are subject to change. Our faith is based on facts, not on feelings. So even though we may have moments of blissful harmony in the body of Christ, our common bond is not based on them. It is based on the unchanging, trustworthy God who made us and called us to have peace with Him through Jesus. Let's see, we move along to the psalm fragment that they provide. It's from Psalm 133, 1 and 2. And the psalmist says, "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes." Yeah, and I'm not sure what version that is, but I know it as "how very good and pleasant it is for brothers living together in unity." But kindred is, you know, another word for brothers. But it is, and it's like, you know, they point to the oil, like that precious oil on the beard. I recall a teaching basically where that's pointing to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know, as oil, and our communion with God as well as our unity with one another. And that's what draws us together, is our unity. Let's move along here to the journal reflections, and it asks us to write about an uplifting and blissful experience of genuine Christian community in your life. The easiest example of uplifting and blissful experiences of genuine Christian community in my life are memories of various worship services where the community of faith was united in praising the Lord in song. I fully endorse and recommend loud, enthusiastic singing as a spiritual practice, individually and corporately, because when we are singing praises to the Lord, it may be the most appropriate thing we can do as Christian, as Christians. It's right, you know. And the Holy Spirit also uses it to transform our hearts and minds as we bond relationally with the Lord and with the body of Christ. It's the expression of the fruit of joy in our lives, and it gives glory to God and demonstrates our faith experientially. We need each other to have these experiences of genuine Christian community, but we have to be engaged individually to participate in it, and whether or not we are bonded to our brothers and sisters present in the building, the bliss comes from experiencing the Lord's presence in our midst. Let's see. The next journal reflection, the prompt is, write about a time when faith kept you in community, even though the experience of community wasn't so good at the time. Oh, plenty of times. Some worship services aren't so great. Some people aren't, you know, sometimes people aren't always getting along. And sometimes the trials in our lives prevent us from, you know, fully entering in and being in community. But you keep going to the corporate gathering, you know, because the Word calls us to, and because going to church is part of who we are now. Even if I am not feeling it, I go to worship the Lord because it is the right thing to do. And often the experience of going changes my attitude by reminding me of the goodness of God and what He has done in my life. So, yeah, you want to represent the faith by going to church. And even when the community isn't so great, we're not there for each other. We're there for the Lord. And that's the thing that we should really remember. Let's see, we'll move along to the intercessions. And the prompt is to think about your community of faith. If there's any conflict or tension in the community, pray that faith in the unity given by Christ would sustain the community as it seeks to resolve the conflict. If the members of your community of faith are presently at peace with one another, thank God for the experience of unity. It's rather appropriate, and so we'll pray. Lord God, I pray for my community of faith today, as recent messages have caused offense, as the seating policy of, quote-unquote, moving to the middle has caused some to leave the fellowship altogether. I pray for those who left and for those who remain to not let this policy to make room for others cause them offense and to lose focus on the reason we are gathered in the first place, to worship you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to move forward in harmony, united in our hearts to worship you with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And finally, the prayer for today is, Lord, I need Christian community. Help me to be there for others in the same way I need others to be there for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That concludes day 23 of our walk, walk through Lent and our walk through the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As always, we invite people to check out mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with our walk. Today, we continue sharing from Chapter 10 of A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God, and he's bringing up the third point of what our attitude towards God's sovereignty should be. And number three is one of entire resignation. So we should be totally resigned to God's sovereignty. And so if you want to read what A.W. Pink has to say about that, go to mtforchrist.org and you'll see that at the end of today's blog post. Notes on the program. We are in the U.S. We have a friend in Norway. He said, where's today's message? And I did the math, and our friend is five hours ahead of us. So he's literally walking and talking to God long before we even rise here in the morning. We appreciate his listening, and we hope he'll continue. However, we can totally understand if he wants to walk ahead of us. But we will upload the podcast as soon as possible. And as I sent an email to him, I wanted him to know that we don't get around. Unfortunately, the YouTube video isn't available immediately. And usually we don't get around to uploading it until later in the afternoon, around 3 p.m. usually in the U.S. So I want to thank anyone who's listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube for checking in. But there are delays, unfortunately, due to where we are on the earth and just for production reasons and the fact that I'm a Christian disciple, but I'm not in full-time ministry. I have a day job, and even though I'm trying to walk with the Lord 24/7, part of that time is spent to pay the bills. So we appreciate your fellowship with us through this journey of Lent, my friend, and wish you well. I wish for spring to sprung or whatever. In Norway as well as here in the U.S. I also wanted to put a note forth that yesterday we didn't have a Bible study with the Sincotis, as we do normally. I felt sort of moved to do a study on my own, but I didn't want to force anything in the early morning hours on a Sunday. I didn't. So there's no Bible study this week. However, we do invite you to check out the archives of our Bible studies with Arthur and Susanna Sincotti. We ask you to pray for them as they're facing a trial in their lives right now that, you know, may be an enduring trial. And how that affects the podcast, I'm not sure at this time. I'm hoping that we'll be back together this weekend to resume our Bible study, and I'll keep you updated when they update me. But sometimes things happen in our lives that affect us. We are only human, and sometimes we have to take a break. So this weekend we took a break, and we'll see what happens, and we'll try to be faithful to produce something on a daily basis, but occasionally we'll miss a day. And there's two things we can get from that. One, sometimes we need a break in our lives, even from our faith walk, and just to take a day off to rest, to suffer through what we're going through. And also, the second thing it points to is sometimes, our walk of faith cannot be dependent upon another person. I can't have faith for you, and if the only, if the only reason you're following is because of someone else or because of that blissful, uplifting feeling you get from community, you're missing something. It's called a relationship with your Heavenly Father that you have personal responsibility for. And so when, I didn't have Bible study with the Sincotis yesterday, but I was in the Bible studying it. I read a chapter from a Christian book, along with a couple chapters from the Bible, and I went to the corporate fellowship at my local church. So I didn't let the lack of a Bible study this week derail my life of faith. It was just one small part in it, and if that Bible study, someday it'll cease one way or the other. But will my faith cease? No. I'm going to continue walking in faith until the Lord brings me home. How that'll look on a daily basis, we're not really sure. But God willing, it'll include Bible study and prayer every day. And, I'm blessed that the Lord has moved me to do this podcast and blog. And I'll try to be faithful to that, and as long as I can walk through the earth and write. But yeah, it shouldn't, our individual relationship should not be dependent upon a pastor, priest, or even a brother and sister in Christ that we're walking with. As I have discovered and experienced through my, you know, years of walking in the Spirit, you know, sometimes we walk with people for a season, and we get separated from each other from circumstances or you know, for different reasons. And the question is, are you going to still walk with the Lord now that they're gone? They had to go wherever. You're still here. Are you going to walk and talk with God, or are you just going to throw it in because your buddy in Christ is gone? I say no. I say, you know, then, and that's the key, you know, as much as discipleship is about walking together, it really is about walking in the Spirit and following the Lord individually. The good thing is we get to experience the fellowship of the saints and that uplifting, blissful experience of being in Christian community. But, you know, throughout Christendom, there's testimonies of Christians who are isolated, all alone by themselves, and who are faithful to follow. And so we should be inspired by them that we can still be a Christian, even if, you know, circumstances prevent us from being part of a corporate fellowship or having good friends in Christ. So a little, you know, as much as I'm disappointed we didn't have our Bible study, it's a good object lesson of what to do when things fall apart. Are we still going to trust the Lord? Are we still going to walk and follow the Lord through the trials and when things don't happen? The answer, I hope, is yes, for all of us. Anyway, it is Monday. Tonight, I'll be leading someone through the steps to freedom in Christ, so I covet your prayers to support the process of repentance as we help a brother in Christ to, you know, take care of those areas that keep you bound and stuck. So we pray for, you know, complete resolution for that. We pray for the Holy Spirit to protect us as we sit down to prayer and repentance with this brother. As always, well, if you didn't know, I'm a Community Freedom Ministry associate that leads people through the steps to freedom in Christ. I highly recommend anyone listening that they go, you know, get The Bondage Breaker, read it, and go through the steps to freedom in Christ that are at the back of the book. You can also buy the Steps to Freedom in Christ all by themselves. There's also, you know, links on our blog where you can find a copy of the steps. And there's I believe I did a walkthrough on the podcast of the Steps to Freedom in Christ. It's just a way to draw close to the Lord, and we highly recommend it. If you want to be led through the Steps to Freedom in Christ, you can go to FICM.org and, you know, get help, join a course, or ask, you know, send an email asking for someone to lead you through the Steps to Freedom in Christ, and the national ministry will arrange for that. And also, there's our podcast. You know, we do provide our discipleship teachings that are based on Freedom in Christ materials. We have three classes, Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ, available on the podcast and our YouTube channel. So if you want to get built up in your faith, learn who you are, and experience your freedom in Christ, you could do that. And we would gladly email you the Word documents that we created for those classes upon request at no charge. So that's a lot of plugging and whatnot, a lot of stuff. So let's move on to our work day, and let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for the fellowship of the saints, the unity of the Spirit, and those blissful, easy feelings of Christian community that we've known and hope to continue to know as we keep walking and talking with you. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ at our local congregation and, you know, all over the world. As this message has touched people in different countries and different states here in the U.S. And we're just thankful, Lord, for how you blessed our lives and allowed us to, you know, reach beyond our local area to encourage people in their faith. Lord, we just pray for anyone listening today that they'd be blessed, that you'd come alongside them in their prayer requests and them in their walk of faith to encourage them in the way they should go. Lord, as always, we pray for you to go before us, to open our eyes to the things you want us to see, and to move our feet into the things you'd have us step into today. Lord, we desperately need your help. We need your guidance. We need your providence. So please go before us, set things up in a good way, and help us as we go, as we only want to represent you and your kingdom here on the earth, and do what is right according to your word, and to show and share your love with the world that we encounter along the way. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.